You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Bregman drills one to deep left center field. Back goes Winker all the way back, and it's off the fence. Trotting in to score is Chaz McCormick. Alex Bregman, 3-for-3, knocks in his third run of the day. 6-0 Astros.
Astros getting it done yesterday. 7-2 win. Paul Sychuk, the Seattle Mariners, who he had a two-year relationship with and is now back with the Astros. But still sees them every now and then.
Listen, I can still see them.
The hotel key has been turned in, and Paul is back with the wife and kids.
You just started watching Succession.
And, I do like Succession.
And there is a point in Succession that you will see in the coming seasons where the longtime significant other of...
Don't spoil.
This isn't a spoiler, but the longtime significant other of one of the main characters, like, that's not the same hot and heavy relationship that it once was, and there's a new flame that comes into the picture, and the old flame reminds the new flame, like, hey, go get your shine box, essentially, like you got a good fellas. And that's what the Astros did with my lover. And, you know, I got to give them credit. Like, the Astros showed that they care about me, you know? Mariners, maybe a little more effort next time, okay?
The wife came home in a new dress.
Oh, yeah.
She worked out
a little bit, you know, doing some squats, some Pilates.
So he told the side chick no more.
I didn't say no more. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Okay, so when Paul goes back to Seattle, he'll get his liberal coffee and then go to a Mariners game.
Liberal coffee.
But the Astros, the bats got going, which is what we really needed to see from them. And Justin Verlander, man, he still has the good stuff. I mean, it wasn't like his all-time best performance, but it was solid. And he talked a little bit about, after the game, about the pitching staff and how he feels about the guys getting on a roll.
I mean, I think that's how you get on a roll. You know, I think, you know, energy matters. You know, I think... you can get on a roll as a staff, and you see the guy go out before you and pitch well, and you know you want to do the same, and that energy just kind of reverberates throughout the clubhouse and throughout your starting rotation, throughout the bullpen.
It really has been. I mean, everyone's pitching really well right now, and Seattle's offense was looking pretty good to this point in the year until this series, and I mean, you shut them out twice, and you had them shut out until the seventh inning. You know, it's been really impressive, the pitching for this team. I did not think it would be this good. I honestly was a little concerned going into the year about Lance McCullers because you don't know when he's going to come back. But really, everyone has been, for the most part, good. There's just a couple of Jake Odorizzi starts where you're like, good God, but he's even bounced back from it. I mean, and considering they're doing this all without Brent Strom, that's even more surprising. I mean, he's in Arizona right now, and you would have thought, okay, you lose him, maybe you lose the edge that you had from a pitching perspective. But considering this team's lineup is not quite as potent as it was before, that's just by default without Carlos Correa, even if Jeremy Peña is playing well to open things up, the pitching has carried the team for a month of the year. And good job by them, seriously. It's going to have to continue, I think, for the entirety of the season, but why would you expect it to stop with the way that things have opened up?
Justin Verlander reaching 100 pitches for the first time since getting that Tommy John surgery.
That's a nice milestone.
It is a nice milestone, and here's what he had to say about said milestone.
Yeah, no, it actually is a big deal. You know, yeah, it's been something we've been trying to work on and you know, build up smartly. Obviously, we're in a six-man rotation right now, so, you know, just trying to get myself back to being able to be in that routine and throw that many pitches. You know, I think the next big hurdle, you know, seeing how I respond from this.
And I don't hate the idea of keeping the six-man rotation going as long as possible. I mean, especially if we're in this era of load management. I don't really believe in load management when it comes to baseball players, but when it comes to pitchers, I can understand why some would buy into it.
Yeah, it can save your career.
Right.
If your load is managed the right way.
I do get annoyed by the amount of pitchers. I didn't laugh. Don't make a face. I'm looking away from you.
If your workload is managed the right way.
Yes, workload is managed the right way. I'm mature. I'm an adult. Paul, you can get through this. The rotation for the Astros, having guys who can get to 100 pitches is big because that's going to ease some of the work that the bullpen's going to have to go through. And I do like that Verlander still is willing to go 100. And I'm sorry, I'm old school when it comes to this, but I do like that pitchers, some of them like to be horses. Some of these guys want to actually go a complete game. Unlike Clayton Kershaw, who is fine, totally fine being pulled out of a perfect game, doesn't say anything about it. I'm sorry. I like the guys who are stubborn and totally want to stay in there and go from the first inning through ninth.
I understand Kershaw wanting to sound like the good soldier and agree with everything that the manager does, but that was disappointing, and to me it shows a lack of competitive nature. I'm with you, and I like that Justin Verlander is continuing to say that he wants to be like Nolan Ryan and pitch into his late 40s. I think that that's admirable, and we're certainly seeing him take steps towards that. Okay, so these international games that the NFL is going to have five of them next year, one in Munich, one in Mexico City.
Stealing our culture.
And three in London. Paul is mad because it takes away jobs, apparently.
It's appropriation of American culture. These Germans, these limeys stealing our football away from us.
You are very white today.
Yes.
The NFL, though, yes, five games, obviously the most they've ever had across the pond / overseas, and this is going to be the first game ever in Munich. We're now finding out more details about the particular venues and the start time. So the Minnesota Vikings Saints game, of course, that is going to be in London at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Will start at 8:30 a.m. Central Time mm-hmm. on October 2nd.
Ridiculous.
Again at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the Giants and the Packers in London. That's going to be at 8:30 as well. And then same time for Broncos and Jags. That one will be at Wembley. The one in Germany is going to be at 8:30 as well. That's going to be the Seahawks and Bucks. The one in Mexico City, 7:15 p.m. That one's obviously a lot more. 7:15 p.m. is doable, but that one is in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca. Nailed
it. Look at this. We are bending over backwards to our former colonial overlords, the Germans. Actually, I don't know if the Germans had really colonies in the Americas. I know that they sent over Hessians, though, during the Revolutionary War to fight with the Limeys. I know that. Here we are bending over backwards to make things easier for our Euro brethren. No, you play this game at United States time, okay?
But
you,
if they do that, the fans probably wouldn't be in mass. It's like a festival.
I don't care. You know what? They're playing these games, Vanessa, early in the day. I'm sorry.
But the whole point of traveling is to grow the game and have the fans and have the big festivals. And it's almost like when you hear former players talk about playing across the pond or overseas, they say that it was almost like a Super Bowl city with all the fans from that country. So I agree with you. It's very inconvenient for Americans watching.
It's all about me.
Of the world.
Listen, great. The players get to have a vacation. So do the owners. So do some rich fans. The 1% of NFL fans. They're going to get to travel overseas to watch these games. But you know what? I got to get up at 8:30 on the weekend to watch a football game. Sorry, I want to sleep in. And all of us, we all have to get up early. I mean, now we're going to have to judge ourselves for popping open a brew or two, you know, early on.
I'm
like
glad you asked that. Are people going to start tailgating / partying? Because people still tailgate when it's an away game. Are people going to start tailgating and drinking? Let's say you start drinking usually 3 to 4 hours before game time.
Can't let the Colonials everything away from us. We have to start early.
So if the game starts at 8:30 a.m. Central, or I guess it would be like 9:30 Eastern, will people start at like 5 or 4:30?
Mimosa. Bloody Mary.
A lot of brunch?
Yes, brunch. But this is before brunch. This is crack of dawn. Hey, it's my 50-year-old dad who loves to wake me up in the morning by making the coffee machines go. This is a morning people only kind of event. And I'm sorry, football games are supposed to start at 11 at the absolute earliest. That's college football. It should start at noon. Central time is perfect, and here we are. There's so many reasons that this is dumb as far as the NFL trying to expand to Europe. It's not going to happen. And these early games, in addition to taking home games away from fans that are paying for season tickets, I just don't see the win for us, and I don't see the win for the league either. This is not going to turn into a league that has teams in Europe. I just don't see it ever happen.
I certainly hope that they reduce the prices of season tickets if you're any of the teams that are playing a game out of the country. I heard Ian Rappaport on NFL Network bringing up some interesting points on why the NFL will not have a team in a different country at least within the next 10 years or so. And he the way he mapped it out, he said it's not about the fan base because there would be a fan base. It's not about anything except for logistics. How would guys get to practice? Would they have to take like a plane if they lived somewhere else? And then you have the time differences for any team that would play that team in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually mapped out that it's really not the financials and it's really not the fan base. It's actually just pure logistics of how a week to week, day to day schedule would run.
And those teams, unless you're bringing back the Concorde, if you're playing over there, then, I mean, they're just going to be gassed every single week. And you're going to be paying a ton of money, I would imagine, too, especially with fuel prices skyrocketing,
yes,
if you will. Bring back the Concorde. What was wrong with the Concorde? I mean,
they had too many, like, high-profile crashes.
Oh.
But that's what we played that.
Classic.
We played that interview with Jim Irsay and Pat McAfee, Colts owner Jim Irsay, and that's one of the things that he brought up was that with the dissolution of the Concorde, what did that mean for the games in London?
Okay, Elon Musk, I know you're focused on Twitter, but let's do rockets that go to Europe.
Are you excited for the NFL international games? Let us know. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, he used to be a villain, but yesterday he became a little bit of a hero. Which sports superstar am I talking about? And which sports superstar, whether it's an athlete or a coach, did you used to hate? But then you kind of started liking them. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We've been getting a lot of good takes on Mexican food. Where to go, where the best is.
The most authentic Mexican food can be found at a gas station, Vanessa.
Said like a true man from Boston.
Do you know what's really funny, on a serious note? I remember my dad picked me up from the airport once. We were going to a family wedding up in Massachusetts after I'd lived here for like 6 years. And he wanted to go to a Mexican restaurant on the way home. And I said, like, I'm not eating that filth, this fake American filth. But the joke was on me because he took me to Applebee's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
the bees.
I'd rather die than go to the neighborhood.
Wait, really? You're not an Applebee's fan?
No, Chili's till I die.
So
also
yeah.
Authentic Mexican food. Because it's Chili's.
But actually the chips and salsa Chili's kind of slaps in its own American way.
See, that's authentic Mexican food.
That is not authentic though.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Not authentic.
Oh, it's a chain. It says Chili's.
No,
that seems Mexican.
It's not Mexican. It's not real Mexican food.
I don't know.
It's good, but it's not real Mexican
food. You can't confirm that.
JJ Redick on ESPN has become a popular personality. Now, this was a man, obviously, when he played for Duke that was not well-liked across the country. People thought he was kind of smug, thought he was kind of cocky, whatever. But since has made a resurgence and has done what I think is a really, really good job with ESPN. They have Chris Mad Dog Russo on ESPN debating with Stephen Smith, I think once or twice a week. And it goes as expected, very, as you say, speak and yell for your cold pizza take or whatever. So yesterday there was a discussion about athletes and Draymond Green in particular, and Chris Russo basically alluded that Draymond should shut up and dribble and that people were not interested in his antics anymore. JJ Redick went off and said the following.
The same sort of connotations that the shut up and dribble crowd has towards athletes, and I have a real problem with that, and specifically with Draymond, the idea that America is tired of him. You do realize the guy has a very, very popular podcast that he hosts where he talks himself for a majority of the episode, and people listen to that. He signed a talent deal with Turner because people want to hear what Draymond has to say. The reason they want to hear what Draymond has to say is because, just like in this press conference, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. And as a player, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. The edge that he carries himself with, he's talked about this since game one. Klay Thompson has talked about this since game one. It's what makes him great. It's what makes him a future Hall of Famer. It's the reason he is who he is.
Yeah, so he then goes on to say, because Chris Mad Dog Russo kind of interjected himself and said, well, I know a bunch of fans that are over the age of 60 that don't like Draymond's antics. And then JJ Redick responded by saying, you sound like you work for Fox News. So it went viral. The clip was a lot longer, but we didn't want to play the whole thing.
So you like JJ Redick now?
It's interesting to see the development of athletes post-playing career, especially the ones that were kind of hated.
Did you dislike J.J. Redick, or did you dislike J.J. Redick, the Duke player?
I didn't dislike J.J. Redick at all.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I've always liked Mike Krzyzewski. So I actually didn't, but a lot of people did, right?
It's actually Mike Krzyzewski.
You sound really white now. But I never hated him, but a lot of people did. And the conversation that kind of started on Twitter after this was J.J. Redick having became so likable. Who's an athlete that you didn't like a lot of people didn't like J.J. Redick, that you kind of came around to liking post-playing career?
It's funny what being in media will do for you, because I could not stand Alex Rodriguez. I could not stand him. When I was growing up a Red Sox fan, there was that game that took place in 2004 where he got into it with Jason Varitek, who was my favorite Red Sox player at the time. I remember, too, in the Game 6 or Game 7 of the ALCS against the Yankees, he's running to first base, and he just purse slaps away a ball from the first baseman, and ultimately it required a review to overturn it, and the Yankee fans started throwing bottles on the field. But I always could not stand A-Rod. In video games, like MVP Baseball 2005, when I was playing as the Red Sox against the Yankees and A-Rod came up to hit, I would intentionally hit him every single time in this video game.
Oh, aggressive. Oh, seriously. Young Paul with the anger issues.
And then he came into the media, and I mean, he's dorky. He seems like he can be self-deprecating. He has a little bit of personality. Yeah, I like Alex Rodriguez a lot more than I used to. He used to be legitimately on my list of like least favorite athletes in sports.
Tom Brady, I wouldn't say I love him. I will never be able to say I love Tom Brady. But it has been interesting to see his brand change. Full disclosure, I don't think he's behind it. I think he obviously has a social media team. I think he obviously has a branding team. But, you know, he went from being the guy in New England that was so hateable. He did UGG commercials. He was married to a supermodel. There was just nothing relatable about him. And if you didn't grow up a Patriots fan, like obviously you did, but if you didn't grow up, he was just really easy to hate, because not only was he really good, there was nothing human about him.
Handsome.
He was robotic.
Married to a supermodel. Right. Doesn't do anything extremely flashy either.
And then his diet came out.
He's part of a system.
It just was robotic. And I got to tell you, when he hired whoever he did for his brand manager, when he left New England, and then when he got drunk at that damn Super Bowl parade, the boat parade after the Bucks won.
He was a Buck at the
time. And you're like, oh my gosh.
If he had done that as a Patriot, though, there would be, oh my God, cancel Tom Brady pieces.
No, see, the funny thing is that if he had done it as a Patriot, I still think I would have been like, he's a little bit better now.
Here's what would have happened, because you had pieces
I'm
like this.
I'm the one that hates Tom Brady.
But there would have been, I'm not kidding though, Vanessa, like when he was on New England, had something like that happen, like, can you believe that Tom Brady's being drunk in public? This is like the classic Patriot entitled white man syndrome.
I think I would have liked it.
There were pieces about Rob Gronkowski partying that if he were on any other team, no one would give
would
a damn
fine.
About. Anyway, I always thought though, when it comes to Brady, totally feel that way. You know who, for me, as someone who grew up rooting for Tom Brady, another guy that I used to not be able to stand, but now I actually like, Eli Manning. I like Eli Manning a lot. Yeah. I think Eli Manning is very, you know, I've always found Peyton Manning to be a little bit too politician-y for my taste, but Eli Manning seems like an actual everyday human being.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think Eli has like very little personality and is very bland.
I don't think he tries. I think Peyton Manning tries a little too hard.
Oh, see, I love me some Peyton.
Well, of course. You're from Indy.
But
you have to.
But I did come around on Tom Brady, and it wasn't just the Super Bowl parade. It was once he started being more fun on social media, the damn bad boy videos that he did with Rob Gronkowski when they were after they won, and it was bad boys for life, and he was shrugging, and he was like, yeah, I know I'm good, and I know that I just won. In a weird way, made him more likable because he was less robotic. So we've gotten some answers. 0565 on the text line said, Shaq, I couldn't stand Shaquille O'Neal, but now I love him on TNT. I would imagine that's what a lot of people...
Have you ever seen him in person?
Oh, yeah, at the Beverly Hills Hotel during Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I saw him...
Massive!
I saw him at the CVS that's right by the Galleria. I think it was like 4 years ago, and I remember I was leaving the store, and then like this just absolute mountain of a human being walks in from this giant SUV that's parked in the handicapped parking spot.
Oh,
and I remember like stopping turning around and like, oh, that's Shaq. Why is he here? I think there was some Rockets Celtics game or something like that, and the studio crew had been there but he's the biggest person I've ever seen in my life. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
He's absolutely massive. An athlete that you didn't like, but then eventually after their playing career, or I guess in my case with Tom Brady, it'd be during, ended up kind of liking them.
I'm trying to think of some other ones. I feel like with basketball, I have generally always liked the extremely disliked players in basketball, whether it be Draymond Green or Patrick Beverley or some of these other guys. So I don't think I can think of one off the top of my head in basketball. But for me, yeah, all I can think of really right now are A-Rod and Eli Manning.
Meanwhile, speaking of athletes that we definitely don't like, James Harden is not stepping up with the Sixers. Your thoughts on that? And is he going to have a game where he looks like vintage James Harden? Because we have not seen it yet.
It's over. I mean, he's like the third option without Joel Embiid out there.
Without Embiid, yeah.
Tobias Harris is outscoring it, for God's sakes. Like, and again, it's not the end-all be-all how much you're scoring, but he's just clearly like lost it. I mean, it's pretty incredible to see what he has been over the past year.
What did Daryl Morey see when he was bringing him to the 76ers? Was Daryl Morey like a lot of women that see the potential in a guy instead of who the guy actually is?
I think it's not the potential. I think he saw the past. Because how many times have you maybe talked to a significant other that's an ex and thought fondly and nostalgically on the good times and forgot about all the bad times that you had with him? And Morey, I mean, James Harden made Daryl Morey. That trade is one of the best trades in NBA history that they made, at least based off of what Harden was able to do in Houston after the fact. But, I really can't figure out, outside of him just maybe not taking care of his body, why all of a sudden it's like this. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago that we were still thinking about him, even if he wasn't playing well in the playoffs, as one of the best players in basketball. It's striking how quickly it's gone, especially when you're seeing so many guys who are playing well into their late 30s. Like, this is something that you'd see in the 1990s.
Right.
You know, like Sean Kemp and Vin Baker, and maybe not to those degrees because those guys ballooned like blimps essentially towards the end of their careers and just lost it. But with Harden, it really does feel like that right now, watching it just compared to everybody else in this league.
The NBA playoffs continue. Of course, we're keeping you updated on all things James Harden as his demise continues, much to the chagrin of both of us. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Tyrann Mathieu meets with the Saints media. Can he make a substantial difference for the Saints? Plus, the Texans add a quarterback? ? That's next.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We have a lot of people talking about Mexican food on the text line and Twitter. Actually, that's all. People are really talking about the best spots. A lot of people agree with me. Papacito's a little overrated. Big portions, but a little overrated. Good Tex-Mex, but not the real thing.
Not authentic, no.
No, it's not authentic.
Ninfa's an LTM, though.
And John Lopez agreed with me, and John Lopez would know because his last name is Lopez.
Lopez is a Russian last name.
He's Spanish.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I do know that.
Is he from Spain? I did not know that he was part of the Spanish
monarchy.
Okay,
you say you're Irish. Are you from Ireland?
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
My blood is from there.
Sounds like Paul wants to see a birth certificate on Lopez.
God, are we in the 2008 election again? Hello.
It would be funny to find out that Lopez is actually Spanish as opposed to Mexican, though. I would like that.
What do you mean?
Well,
wait, did I misspeak?
Well,
I might have misspoke.
Mexican American, as opposed to
Spain. That's what I meant.
Listen, Spain. I'm just saying this about Spain. Spain gets super cocky and they get super pissed off.
I think I misspoke. You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, Lopez is Russian, right?
Oh gotcha. God.
Yeah.
Honey,
what was their Russian last name? Lopez. Yeah, that sounds Spanish too.
Tyrann Mathieu meeting with the Saints media this week.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about the Saints on the show because we do have some NOLA fans here in Houston. Beyond that, though, they're a fascinating, I think, team to watch in the NFL this coming season because they will obviously be without Sean Payton. It will only be their second year without Drew Brees. And then they're set to possibly change ownership at some point because Gail Benson is still around, but her husband did pass away. So this is not your mama's Saints. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with what they have. Do you think Tyrann Mathieu can make a big difference for the Saints this coming season?
I don't think so, no. I feel like Tyrann Mathieu is a nice name to have on that defense, and he certainly adds to the collective, but I don't think he's going to be a major difference maker. You know, I feel like this is almost one of those things that you do when you are the Saints and you're trying to find ways to keep people engaged. This is definitely a way to pander to your local base, is to bring in the kid that wanted to play for the Saints, who's from New Orleans, who also played for LSU,
too. That's a great point.
Right?
More of a PR move, you mean?
Well, I don't want to go that far. I mean, I think Mathieu can still play, but I don't think he's a difference maker anymore. And I feel like they are paying a little bit extra for Tyrann Mathieu entirely based off of his name than based off of what he still can do as a player.
Tyrann Mathieu did speak, like we said, with the media, and here's what he had to say about joining the New Orleans Saints.
You know, the Saints was really the only visit that I went on. I think from the get-go, I knew where I wanted to be. And from there, it's just all about everything kind of coming together and aligning. And so, like I said, I'm sure there's a lot of people that was praying for me, rooting for me. And it just feels good to see it all kind of come together. But I've kind of been manifesting this for a while now. You know, a lot of former teammates know this. But just to have this opportunity means a lot to me.
I love that he has the Louisiana accent. It just makes it that much cuter.
I like hearing that he's emotional there, too. And right. I'm like, he's always been a little bit sensitive online, but I feel like every single player is a little bit different on that front. I would just advise most players to stay off of it. Because Tyrann Mathieu does definitely search his mentions, because I think that he searched something I had once tweeted. I remember when I was back at the flagship.
Yeah, you can tell because you don't at them, but they find it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He gets to play for his hometown team, and I just think that is just the dream for anyone. I know growing up as a kid, obviously I never played professional sports.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
I thought you did.
Flag football legend, but listen, there's no professional flag football league. There will be flag football in the Olympics at some point down the road, but whatever the case, you know, I always wanted to play for the Patriots, and that clearly didn't happen, even though I am your token, you know, hardworking, hashtag white receiver. It's cool. I'm happy for him, you know, and I do hope for his own sake, that it works out there, because I'm sure he's a little pissed off about the fact that the Chiefs let him walk and signed Justin Reed, who he played with here in Houston for 1 year.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, the two are friends. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do with the Saints and if he can help them, as they are in not quite a rebuilding process. But look, they were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes at one point, right? And they ended up sticking with Jameis Winston. It's a little bit of a difference there. So I think that under that new regime, they're going to have to find ways to get creative, and maybe Honey Badger can help them with that.
They have to win with defense, though. And it's funny that they have beaten the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 4 of the last 5 times that they've played them. They only lost in the game that mattered, the playoff game. How do they turn that into more than being this, hey, we're a fringe playoff contender? It's a tricky spot to be in when you're stuck in that limbo of our quarterback is decent. And on a good day, Jameis Winston is a decent player. But we can't get further.
Right. No.
You know, there's a bunch of teams that are stuck in that. The Vikings have been stuck in that spot for a while, too. You never want to be there. The Texans were there for a little bit with Matt Schaub.
Speaking of the Texans and Texans quarterbacks, nice transition here. The Texans did sign a quarterback. The Texans have brought in ex-Titan Kevin Hogan. He joins Jeff Driskel and Kyle Allen as backups in the Houston locker room, of course, behind QB1 Davis Mills. This is probably just a camp thing, right? I mean, they want to have a room full of quarterbacks, but you
all
never
nerdy quarterbacks.
But you that's what I was about to say. You really never know with the Texans who they're going to like to and who they're going to stick to and put their stock in.
I only
what
like
are your thoughts
Stanford
on this?
Quarterbacks. Ooh, look at me. Maybe this is all part of a master plan to lure Houston native Andrew Luck out of retirement. Although Andrew Luck has lost a lot
he
of
is,
weight.
And you know what? He made his second ever public appearance since retiring. His first one was when he and RG3
so Obi-Wan Kenobi living in a cave now?
He and RG3 did the joint segment at the college football championship because it was at Lucas Oil Stadium. And then he actually emceed a book literacy luncheon in Indianapolis. And I know this because Kevin Bowen, who works at The Fan in Indianapolis, his wife was at said luncheon and tweeted out a picture, I believe, or a video. But yes, Andrew Luck has lost a lot of weight, and I don't think we'll come out of retirement.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It is interesting just that there's a bunch of Stanford quarterbacks on the roster, though. Stanford is one of those schools where they're not Ivy League, but they're damn close to Ivy League. And they like to remind you that they're close to Ivy
Stanford
League.
Stanford isn't Ivy League?
No, no. That's all Northeastern schools.
Oh.
So the Ivy League is Princeton, Penn, Brown.
That's right.
Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth. And Columbia and Cornell. There you go.
I can't believe Stanford isn't Ivy League.
No. It would make no sense if they were in the same conference as all those schools that are up in the Northeast.
Yeah, but you know geography and me. We don't mix well together.
Stanford is in Stamford, Connecticut.
Is it really?
No, I'm kidding.
No, I was going to say that can't be right because there's a school called Stanford with an M.
You know, that would be confusing, though, if Stanford...
Don't confuse me. Kevin Hogan, former Stanford quarterback, and he was with the Titans at one point. He was with the Bengals, I believe, at another point.
Mm-hmm.
So he is now in the quarterback room for the Texans.
Huzzah!
Again, this could just be a camp thing, but you never know. They do like their smart quarterbacks.
Yes. I just like that he's from Stanford, you know? We have a standard here, you know? We like the smarty pants.
They like...
Syracuse, Stanford, same school.
Oh, God.
Give or take.
This guy.
No, I know Syracuse is like essentially a safety school in the Northeast for kids with really rich parents.
Really rich parents. Not only that, but Syracuse is one of the schools. And if you're listening and if you're not into the journalism game, let me explain something. So kids that are from Mizzou, Syracuse, and Northwestern never shut up.
Yeah, we don't.
About where they went to college. They think that because their parents were able to pay for them to go to Syracuse.
Well, maybe I got a scholarship.
Mizzou or Northwestern in Chicago. That
a
they
flag
are,
football scholarship?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that they are superior to you.
Yeah.
Very obnoxious.
I'll be honest. That used to be me back in the day.
Not only that.
I only got it because what you just outlined is 100% why I got to go to Syracuse.
Because you had rich parents?
I had well-off parents.
Yeah.
Hard-working blue-collar.
No, that's my parents. That's why we get along so well. But yeah, anytime somebody from Syracuse does something well, whether it's Mike Tirico, whether it's, I don't even know, who are some of the others? Evan Drellick, I know, went to Syracuse.
He did?
I think, right?
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Maybe.
But yeah, Syracuse is one of those. I can't believe that Stanford is not in the Ivy League, though.
Yeah, it's not.
Nuts.
You're learning something new every single day.
Learning a lot about Cinco de Mayo as well as Ivy League schools.
We were learning about authentic Mexican food, and you know, we learned today that if it's not from a food truck, it's not authentic.
That is not what I said.
Unless it's a hamburger.
FYI, FYI, I said that there's a difference between Tex-Mex and authentic Mexican food.
Hamburgers,
which John
authentic.
Lopez agrees with me. So let me tell you what I tweeted.
Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you what I tweeted that he agreed with. And
you know it's a good opinion when you have to constantly defend it.
Other people from that culture agree with me.
He liked my tweet. That means it's
no,
right.
No. Best Tex-Mex. The fajita burger at Ninfa's and the big burritos at Chewy's. But those are not authentic.
Nah.
I said, shout out to John Lopez for recommending Teotihuacan on airline for the real stuff.
I would also say that the holiday of Cinco de Mayo is not authentic either.
No, it's not. So, but it brought up a discussion that we're having.
You can't take that away from us.
No, I'm saying I'm taking it away from Mexico.
Wait, Sean, it's ours. What's your culture?
What? I'm half Irish, half Iranian.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
We don't have any big holiday.
No.
I mean, other than St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
But I only get to celebrate half of it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. All right.
Coming up
on Vanessa and Gallant, more cultural appropriation. It is football time.
This show's been so dumb.
It is football time in Houston. We talk about some of the local products here. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I am with Paul Gallant, as always. A lot of responses, a lot of passionate responses on our question about Mexican food.
Well, we're the go-to sources.
Absolutely.
When it comes to just our knowledge of Mexican cuisine. What's authentic? What's inauthentic? And, you know, as you've heard over the course of today's show, we're really big into places like Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's good drunk food.
Taco Cabana.
Chachos is good drunk food. I don't like Taco Cabana a lot.
Tacos are go-go.
It's football time in Houston.
It's football time in Houston.
And yes, that's a real song, as you guys know.
Hey, we're ready to play. Yeah, Clay Walker, who looks like he could be my father. Is he?
You've got to ask your mom about that.
That's a good question. He does look like my dad.
One thing we know about Houston is that it is a hotbed for recruiting. There are so many guys here, local talent, whether you're talking Katy, North Shore, Klein, all the various schools. You have the Demetrius Davises of the world that go on to play at Auburn, and a lot of different guys that are drafted. One of my favorite memories working in Houston the last couple years, I was at Josh Jones's house when he got drafted by the Cardinals, and Walker Little's house last year when he got drafted by the Jags. Very special, heartwarming moments. But 12 players from Houston area high schools picked in last weekend's draft.
And that's more than any area of the country except for the entire state of Texas, Georgia, California, Florida, Ohio, and Alabama. Every other state, Houston had more players drafted.
Yeah.
Than all but, so we're talking 44 different states that Houston had more players drafted. And look, it's a massive city. It's what, third biggest, fourth biggest in the United States of America at this point in time. So you can understand how that would happen with the massive expanded area and with all the great high schools here. Shout out to North Shore High School. Those are my guys. Also, I know that.
I love John Kay.
That school is the, I've watched a couple of games between them and Katy. And the first like Texas high school football game I went to that was like a really important game was at NRG, and it was between Katy and North Shore.
Oh, that was a good one.
And Katy stopped, North Shore stopped Katy on the goal line, like fourth and one. It was an awesome game. It was really cool to watch.
32 players drafted from the state of Texas, and as we said, 12 from here in Houston. There were actually two from Klein High School in Spring, Texas. That was Isaiah Spiller and Cameron Good, who went to Miami.
This is a funny point brought up by someone on Twitch, E315702. So Houston has 12 players from the area drafted. And I'm sure that, you know, of course, Kenyon Green, he went to Texas A&M. But how are UT and Texas A&M not better? And look, at least Texas A&M is making progress. But, you know, yesterday we were making fun of how, like, hey, Texas is back to not having any of their players drafted. But 12 players from the city of Houston were drafted, and not one of them played for UT. Like, that's nuts. How do you miss out on that? It's 2.5 hours away.
It's the guys that are looking at their options and taking inventory and deciding that going to LSU. Alabama or LSU or sometimes
Florida.
I mean, it's not just that. I mean, you have USC, you have UCLA, you also have the guys that are just deciding that it's not worth it to stay close to home when their parents would be able to come to every single game. They would be near their high school friends. I mean, that's a huge pull for a lot of guys, and it's just not anymore with the Longhorns.
It should be. It's a massive fumble on their part that they have just blown what a massive advantage they used to have. And that's what happens when you get careless and what happens when you get entitled. And I think, you know, UT has realized this over the last couple of years, and that's why they've tried a couple of times in a post Mac Brown era to like say, oh, this isn't good enough. Let's start something new. But the problem is, like, Mac was doing a damn good job of getting these players to come here. Maybe they were a little, you know, spoiled, but it's been just unbelievable how they have let this happen in the way that they have. And it's frustrating as somebody who wants to see UT succeed.
I misspoke. Actually, the NFL's email was incorrect. Isaiah Spiller and Cameron Good went to Klein Collins in spring, not Klein. This could get me started on my local news rant, the thing that I always went through, which is that
there's like a million high schools in every town.
It was Clear Creek, Clear Spring, Clear Falls, Clear River, Clear Forest, and it was just very, very confusing if you're not from here.
And it's funny because, you know, there's not a lot of clear water in the Houston area. It's kind of, if you go to the beach in Galveston, a little murky, you know, Clear Lake. Is that lake clear? I don't know. I don't think so.
But a lot of local talent here, and we certainly hope that can translate. I'm from Indiana, and basketball's huge there. And there's been the conversations about why people don't want to stay. The best basketball players in Indiana don't want to go to IU anymore.
Well, yeah, but that like makes sense because it's Indiana, you know? It's a giant cornfield next to Minnesota.
Okay. So, Paul, the point of this discussion is that football is big in Texas and basketball is big in Indiana.
Oh.
And it's not good when your local guys don't want to stay home.
I do think, though, on a serious note, I think it's more understandable when we're talking about just cold places, right? You know, you can understand why maybe even the Big Ten is having a little bit more of a difficult time.
I guess. But at the same time, if you have that historic of a program, like if the weather was cold in Alabama, but Alabama was that successful, people would still want to go to Bama.
Oh, I'll point to Syracuse. Syracuse basketball historically is fantastic and has a ton of money that's put into the program, but it's a freezing cold wasteland. Syracuse is a miserable, miserable place.
And that does mean something to some people, but that's also the discussion we got with Deshaun Watson, and he ended up in Cleveland. So not always. It is time for, it's not that different, garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I've seen the tweet and the meme that the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder.
Yep.
I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Nor do
I. So I wouldn't really know. Mm-hmm. But I do know that Kim Kardashian and the family got re-famous because they had already been well-known during the OJ trial, but like went back into the limelight when Kim Kardashian made the sex tape with Ray J. And now we're finding out more about that.
Yeah, Ray J finally broke his silence. Real name.
Finally. We've been waiting.
Finally broke it. I was waiting for Ray J to break his silence.
Let me read this quote,
Sean.
It's
been the most sought after interview.
That's the most like e-news. He finally breaks his silence.
He finally broke his silence. That's fair. Quote, I've sat in the shadows for over 14 years, allowing the Kardashians to use my name, to abuse my name, make billions of dollars over a decade and a half talking about a topic I've never really spoken about.
Oh, but now he will.
I've never leaked anything. I have never leaked a sex tape in my life. It has never been a leak. It's always been a deal and a partnership between Kris Jenner and Kim and me, and we've always been partners since the beginning of this thing. In fact, Ray J claims he suggested it to Kim after they saw how Paris Hilton, who used to be essentially the big of the Mean Girls group that Kim Kardashian was in. Like, Kim Kardashian used to be Paris Hilton's little errand
assistant,
girl.
Yes. And then Paris Hilton had one night in Paris.
Yep.
Which was the sex tape.
And then Kim Kardashian put no effort into a video that was leaked. And Ray J has been dragged a lot for it, as if he was the one that put this out.
That released it. Yes, he has.
His career has not really done anything since that moment in time where Kim Kardashian has become this big deal.
Meanwhile, Jerry Jones catching some flack. He was in a very minor car accident.
Literal flack.
In Dallas. Dallas police have confirmed Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was involved in that accident. It was near Harry Hines. Now, I don't know the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I don't
but
either.
If you check out the quote tweets, it became apparent very quickly that Harry Hines is a street where there are a lot of hookers. Like a lot of hookers. Some of the comments include, what are you doing at Harry Hines, Jerry? Back up, Jerry. Throw it in reverse, Jerry. And a lot of people wondering why he was in that area to begin with.
They were driving through it. Listen, right. He's a billionaire. They come to
I
him.
Don't know. I don't know. Robert Kraft was visiting the lovely ladies at the parlor.
It's Florida. It's different. I don't know.
There's no bad part of Florida. It's all kind of suspect.
Yeah.
There's not like stay out of that area.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, no, but yeah, no, you'd think Jerry Jones could have Harry Hines come to him.
You would hope. Right. Somebody from Houston said the streets are saying Harry Hines is like Bissonnette.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
Good to know. I didn't know that about Bissonnette.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stay away from that.
It's probably because. Yeah.
Oh, God.
What? I'm serious.
Gonna
I'm going to stay away.
He's loading it into his GPS right now.
Come on. Far? No. That is wrong.
How far is Bissonnette?
I reject these heinous accusations.
Did we just stop asking about Jerry Jones' supposed daughter?
Oh, I think we just accepted it as fact. No, she apparently withdrew. She withdrew the claim.
Did she really?
Yeah.
She get paid off?
I mean, what do you think? See, what a great way to answer that question without saying anything. I am a journalist.
The original payment that her mom got 25 years ago or whatever was not
allegedly
that much.
Well, don't speak for my client like that. This is for Kangaroo Court.
You know what? She saw Stephen Jones and Charlotte Jones and her biological half-siblings getting billions with the B, and she said, give Mom more sugar.
Were they getting billions?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a billionaire. When he dies...
I'm curious as to how it'll all be spread out, though.
Who do you think will get...
I don't know. Stephen has clearly angled himself as the one who's going
to
get the most.
Is this Succession?
Duh. What do you think? You're watching Succession, and
I
this is
going to
happen with the Jones family. It would be much more entertaining with the Jones family. I'm not going to lie.
That wraps up a very appropriate and appropriated version.
We appropriated the hell out
of Vanessa
Cinco de Mayo.
And Gallant. You got Jeremy USA. Branham. You have Joel Blank, and you'll hear from Kenyon Green within the next couple of hours.
O'clock.
Exciting stuff. Keep it here on 92.5 and
97.5. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.